Simon Tov Mem Gimel, Mr. Burr Sif Aleph, Mr. Sif Aleph, Mr. Burr Sif Katan Zion. Fit in your 9 yard. So we calculate this calculation, these 4 hours, according to the nature of the day. Hainu. So we always take the day and divide it into 12 hours. We take 4 of them. If the days are longer, the hours will also be longer. In a year which has had an extra month, and the Pesach comes out that much later in the year, in the calendar year, you can eat up to 1/3 of the day. Even though the day is longer than 12 standard hours. For example, let's say we would say 1/3 of a day, the total day is 15 hours, so 1/3 of the day is 5 hours, not 4 hours. But that, the fees, well, 5 shows, 5 standard hours. That's the fees that. The opposite will also be true in the case where the Pesach, the time before Pesach is short. You'd have to divide it into 12 smaller hours. You only have a head to eat up to 1/3 of that time. Okay, so you're going to eat at shlish hayom, ches. Now, so when we say day, what do we mean day? So we're saying we divide it into 12 hours. What's it? Is it from sunrise to sunset, or is it from alois until tzeis? You calculate the day from alois hashachar all the way to tzeis hakachovim. We came across the harbor achronim. That's many achronim write that. That's what you're supposed to do. So, if sunrise is at 6 o'clock and sunset is at 6 o'clock, but Elos HaShachar is, let's say, an hour earlier, so you're calculating from 5 o'clock until 7 o'clock. That's what you're making your calculation. B'yesh Armin, there is some which say, you calculate from sunrise to sunset, v'atshlish mizeh ashir yeh mutu lecho chometz. And then you're allowed to eat up to 1/3 of that time. In regards to this halacha, that would end up being a kula. But that's a grokum myson. But it would be preferred to machmer like that opinion, the opinion which is machmer. Now, interesting. So. We're dealing with the Dindar Bonon over here. That which comes as Osir, starting before Chatzos, is the Dindar Bonon. So usually we say the Dindar Bonons, we calculate the Markul de Keshita. Everybody is going with Markul de Keshita. So the famous Kashan Biskarov says, he says, when it comes to Kriya Shema every morning, which is the rice, people will Semerach on the Gro. Yeah, you have more time, Semerach on the Gro. When it comes to this Rechom, which is that before after the 4th hour, which is the Rabbanon, everybody goes with the earlier Shita. You go with the later Shita, what's wrong with you? You know, it's a taka funny thing. It's not just the Gro, it's the Shulchan Aruch Rav. So, you know, whether you're Litzvah or Chassidish, you have somebody to be Semerach on. And it's the Bush and others also. They all say that you go with the later calculation. Regarding the comments, yeah. Now, B'yesharim, there's a third opinion over here, which says chatzos. We calculate however we calculate chatzos. Then we stop eating chometz not to shoos zmanios, but rather to shoos beninios, which means, in other words, two shows, shavos. Test. Shows. Hano shows ben in yos, regular hours. Shukalachas echem nichabdal be meisleis. Each hour is exactly 1/24th of a day. Meisleis. Meisleis means from that time on day one to that time on day two. from 12 to 12, each hour is 1 hour, exactly 1 hour long. Well, again, according to this opinion, filim yom oruch, even the day is very long, mutar lechol yosim shlisha yom. You're allowed to eat, extend beyond a third of the day. V'hainu ad seif sho asiris mechatzai salayla. You would take from chatzos of nighttime, calculate 10 hours, and that's about the time you'd be mutar to eat. That's some way of calculating it. He says you take chatzos hayom and work backwards. Anyway, v'chein l'yim mechiras achometz mutar l'dayzu ad seif sho achas esrei. And for selling chametz, you'd have another hour. So if chatzos is at 12:30, so you can eat until 10:30. Even if sunrise is very early, but you can eat until 10:30. Because the person the ikrika there, Rishon, that this opinion is not the accepted opinion in halacha. You only get a third of the day. And we gave you two ways to calculate a third of the day. You get 5 halachic hours to sell the chametz. So in a case where it was not sold, you can be samech on the second opinion and continue to sell up to an hour before chatzos. So if chatzos, let's say for argument's sake, is at 12:30, till 11:30, you'd be allowed to be samech, you're allowed to sell. In the case of the b'di'avad, and it was a hefsim merubah. Okay. Something chaber base. Yisrael shoyi b'yodo chemser shal Yisrael acher. Pipi kodin. Jew number one had chometz in his possession, which he had received from Jew number two as a bikodin to watch. And it's Erev Pesach, and he's waiting for the owner to come back and claim his chometz and do something with it, destroy it, sell it, something. And he's not coming, so Yaakovenu. You hold on until that fifth hour, because until then maybe the owner will come and retrieve it and do something with it. If during by that time the owner has not come back, so yim kirenu le'ni Yehudi, so you sell it to the non-Jew. Just in case the owner has not sold it, and in the case the owner has not sold it, so you have a situation where you're really saving him a tremendous amount of money. All the chometz are being thrown out. If he sells it, he won't have to throw out all the chometz. So you're being meshir aveda. It's a form of hashabas aveda. You're returning a lost item to him. So this hashabas aveda gives you this key to take it, to save it, empowers you as if you had been made a shliach to sell it, and you get the kayach to sell it to the guy. But after Pesach, you get it back, and then either the government will give you money for it, you know, if you do a full mechira, and if not a full mechira, so then you'll sell it, and after Pesach you buy it back. So Mamonashach, he's not losing any money. And if he didn't do that, he didn't sell it, so Chai Mavari, he'd have a responsibility to be Mavari as Mani Surai. I feel a man of Chai Bachrius. Even if he's not Chai Bachrius, he has a Chiv to, he has no Chiv Shmer at all, even though he's not over any Yisr. He has a Chiv to beer, again, to prevent the owner from being over the Veir having Chometz. So you have a Chiv to beer. The beginning of the fifth hour.
Because wait till the end of the fifth hour, you can't sell it anymore. It's too late. 5 hours over, it's the sixth hour already, you can't sell it. It means the beginning of the fifth hour. Wait till the beginning of the fifth hour. Can't eat it anymore. You could sell it, you could use it for, say, you could sell it. You could make the owner come and retrieve it. So you don't sell it beforehand. So what do? You turn on the akum, double kemesha b'veda. You're returning the lost item to him. No, if you don't do something now, it will come also about noah. And therefore, you're saving him that potential loss. So shavas b'veda doesn't necessarily mean the thing has to be lost yet. Preventing a potential loss is also chiyuv shavas b'veda. The more learns it out, the more learns. Says, how do we know the situation where you see the river starting to overflow and it's going to damage this person's field? And you can go and put sandbags and block the water from coming in and protect his field. That you're mechuyev based on a Shabbos Aveda. The Merlin's up from a posik that your Kima Shabbos Aveda extends to that also. So preventing a loss is included in the midst of a Shabbos Aveda. One very common example of that is leaving, if I'm in a building and I see, or I'm in somebody's house and I see all those lights around, he's wasting electricity. The chur, it's a derisive of Shabbos Aveda, turn off the lights and save him money. And I think that applies to yeshiva also. That's this concept. So I see a loss is taking place in somebody's house and I see the water is running, I can shut the faucet to save him the water bill. They have a keep a Shabbos Aveda to do that.
You can walk into his house and. Without permission to do
that? Actually, you can walk on top of that. If I'm in the house and I see the water's running and nobody to remember, I should have a key to turn it off. He's worried about that by the time, if he waits till the fifth hour, there'll be nobody available to buy. Remember, they used to buy, sell it. One of the options of selling it wasn't what we do, that you sell it and you retreat, we buy it back after pay. So they would sell it. The guy would buy his store of flour. So, if I wait till the fifth hour, everybody's been selling off their flour. By now, nobody's interested in buying any flour anymore. So I'm worried about if I wait till then, because maybe the owner will come back. Meanwhile, there'll be nobody available to buy it. So I can sell it earlier. You take a look at the Beir Locha, talks about that issue. The Magen Rav's language was that he wouldn't be able to find berevach kind of. Okay, so the language berevach means you won't find easily. It means you'll get. So that then the problem is the profits of the sale will go down. If I'm forced to sell and I just got to take whoever is willing to buy, then he can drive a harder bargain. Whereas if there's many purchasers, I can push the price up. So maybe I should sell it earlier, not because there won't be any purchasers at all.
Because they'll get more.
Because I'll be able to get more money. So that he disagrees with. That much. That's not true. Okay, then I guess discuss whether that would be true or not. Okay. The way we do it, so if I have an option of selling it in a way that will buy it back after Pesach, you can't write that into the. We never sell the chometz to the guy conditionally. I'm selling to you with the condition you buy it back after Pesach. That's dangerous because let's say he doesn't buy it back, then there's no sale. Then you're really up the creek.
Sell it back.
What we do is we sell it, and it's unspoken, but he realizes the expectation is that the way we do it actually is we make a sale, and we estimate the value of the chometz at, let's say, $1 million, all of the chometz I'm selling them. I was once by Mechiras Chometz in Brooklyn. It was in Reb Hillel David Shlita's house, and sitting by the table was Reb Hillel David, and Reb Feivel Cohn, and Reb Dovid Cohn, and three of the other rabbanim from Flatbush. Basically, between the six of them, they covered majority of the people in Flatbush were members of their shuls. And they were all selling the chumas to one goy. They were selling one mechira together to this goy.
this guy was buying millions of dollars worth of chametz. I mean, bakeries, whiskey shops, I mean, you know, liquor stores, I mean, they're all being sold to him. The guy's buying millions of dollars of chametz. He doesn't bring $1 million. He brings to 10 bucks. He does a mechira, and he pays, you know, down payment, and the rest is due. The rest of the money is due after Pesach. If after Pesach he chooses, instead of paying the rest of the money, that he wants to sell it back, we'll accept that as a way valid also. So he's motivated to sell it back because otherwise he has to cough up $1 million, right? Which he's not going to do. So you feel confident he's going to sell it back to you, but on the other hand, you didn't make any conditions. If he wants to, he could give you the money, and there's the sale is valid either way. He owes you money. We could say, listen, either you can pay us the money you owe us, or you can sell us the chametz back if you want to have to pay us. So if you could do that, so here I have something which is betzim not mine, it belongs to somebody else. I'm doing him a favor. I'm taking his chametz and I'm selling it. See, if I'm selling it to a guy who's going to then take it and consume it, so listen, that's a hefset to him. But well, yeah, but it's better than having it be worth also b'hanoa. But I have an option of that he can get it back after Pesach, then I'm going to do that for sure. If I can get his chametz back after Pesach, that's the best option.
So it's chavuta.
Yeah, as I said, it's that condition.
A chavuta is a final sale. You can't sell it in such a way that it'll be finalized. It means it's not going to come back. So I have an option where you're able to sell to the goy, and the goy will get after Pesach, but some goy are buying. But, you know, I have a little bit of chametz. You know what? Listen, just pay me $5 and just keep the whole thing. Don't sell it back to me after Pesach. I don't need it. You know, right. Some of the sales are going to be done in a way that you're going to get it back after Pesach. So, if I have a choice of both types of sales, I can't. By this case of Aveda, I can't sell it in such a way that he's forced to. I'm selling it forever. Chalutim means like forever. Is if I have a way that he can get his chametz back. If I don't sell Chayav Avara, Yud Beis, Das Magen Rav the Imoyev Be'efshel. Now, if the Nifkut had an option of selling, when he's out of Loi Macharoi, and he wasn't diligent enough, and he ended up not selling it. So if there's nobody who wanted to buy it, then we wanted to buy it. But if he had an option of selling and he didn't do it, and Achahutz Lavar, he's ended up therefore being forced to destroy it. Chayav l'shalom after kach demei pikadon l'mafkin to reimburse the owner for the loss of the money of the chametz. Afshu shemachinim, even though he's only a shemachinim. Shemachinim is chayav mshia. So we're going to consider this, that he was negligent in his responsibilities. The pshiyahu means he was negligent in his responsibilities. The habalei lamachar, he cut his money sura. He should have sold it before this money sura, like he was told to do. He says no. By shem esach, you're being paid. So you're mechuyev to take your responsibility to a higher level, so you should have sold it. Shemachinim, you know what? You can't call him that he's negligent, he's a pesheya, if he didn't sell it. You can't call him that. The level of responsibility would be equivalent to the Shemachinim's chayiv if an aveda happens. He's equivalent to pay for it. I mean, he wasn't totally blameless. I mean, how did he get lost? Somebody got lost. It wasn't a blatant pshia. But obviously, there's some level of culpability. So we're also you're somewhat culpable. Rabbi Chanan is getting the ban that Shemachinim made Shemasocha Potter. That wasn't. I mean, my job was to watch it. Shalakibo Lov Elishmer Zachavitz. He undertook to protect the item. Shemashus Balov. That I'm watching it. It belongs to you. It's sitting in my house, but it belongs to you. And you have ownership on it still. Now I'll make sure nothing happens to it. I'll give it back to you intact when it's all over. I will keep it on the market. Never undertook to sell it. The opposite is happening. He's selling it away from the owner. So it's a bit kiddish over here the way that they're selling it. So he never agreed to that. So he says, therefore, they say that he would have no responsibility by the fact that he didn't sell it. Now, there is a Gemara. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Yevon Leperka Mafkin, if I have somebody, there's a pile of grain. There's a pile of grain. You guys having shear in here now?
No. My stuff is
there's which I see is starting to rot. So if I don't sell it now, the owner will end up taking a loss. So the Morris says that part of my chiyuv of shmir is to sell it. So the concept of selling it due to a loss is not limited to Pesach. I mean, that concept, the more over there says it explicitly, that it's part of my responsibility to sell it over there. So, if you look at the Shar Tzion in Tess Zion, he quotes El Yerabah, the one line into that Tess Zion. Valley Rabbah Mistavak Bezeh, because of Zelashar. And he armed the Tzarech Ian. In case where the bikkurim started rotted, you were supposed to sell it before it started, when it started to rot, before it got bad. You didn't do that. He didn't sell it. Imchayev is a chayev in that situation. Chen gabi aveda, because a shri perakam afkin mashal the chayev on kalan shana. That goes to shri, which is one of the rishonim, says in that case where you're supposed to sell it, you didn't sell it, you'd be chayev to pay. So the would say that your potter, Danielle. They say that case is also potter, that you know the Evanois and all these sheets of shoulder your potter and over here by the case of Chometz. The Gosa Shri, the Shul Gris is talking about something else. Part of responsibility as a sharma is to inform the owner that something's happening. The owner had no reason to believe that's going to happen. And therefore, you'd be mechuyev to inform us he can address the problem. Over here, Erev Pesach, wow, he didn't realize he has chometz by you, and that everybody, he better do something about Erev Pesach. Why is it your responsibility? So he chose not to. That's his business. Why you held responsible over there? It's sitting by you, not by him. He has no way to know that there's problems. So yes, it makes sense that you're responsible to inform him there's a problem, and please you should address it before. So if I didn't inform him, I'm responsible. Okay. Veda circle markel mitam mitzvah shabbos aveda. So the reason why you're selling is not because it's part of your shmira. The reason why you're selling is because of the mitzvah shabbos aveda. So let's say I'm walking on the street and I see an event, I don't return it. Can you charge me for that? You can't charge me for that. There's no halacha that a person not meishav aveda has to pay. I didn't do my mitzvah, okay, but you can't expect me to pay you for that. If I walk by and I ignore an aveda, so I did an aveda, but I don't reimburse you for your loss. So exactly the same thing over here. Miu. In a case where the chometz is as it's not a case of because it's a case of mashkin. And the malver who has the mashkin didn't sell it. It's already shochamishes. So he had to burn it. Here he's going to lose his. The mashkin represents the chayv. You could have sold the mashkin, and I would have what to pay you back with. Now you didn't sell the mashkin, and you end up having the burden. So he said, "Listen, you wanted your chayv to be paid. You should not have allowed the chametz to end up being burnt." When I give you a mashkin, I say, listen, buddy, here's the deal. I borrowed $1,000. I gave you a mashkin worth $1,000. When you give me back the mashkin, I'll give you back your money. You're not giving back the mashkin, I'm giving back the money. That's how we normally arrange it. When the mashkin was lost in a way that the malva was onus, it wasn't his fault. Because she's a man who lists him, and the onus happened, which was beyond his control. But otherwise, when I gave you the mashkin, I expected you have the mashkin, I have the money. When you're ready to give the mashkin back, I'm ready to give the money back. But I'm not going to give the money back if you don't give the mashkin back. I will can show you after. The Malva could have sold the mashkin for Pesach. He's not an oinus. He has lose gormer and half shot a mashkin. She has about no veins oinus. So he said, listen, you caused a loss of the mashkin. I'm not going to pay you back until you get back. You can give me a functioning mashkin, which you can't do, obviously. So you lose your chayv. Who poshed the mechor bearer Pesach? Misha mechor bezoil and a love kluma half shot all live. If however he sold it at any discounted price because it's Erev Pesach, the guy said, I'm not going to pay money. He knows he can go to the next room and get the same stuff for cheap. So that's really not the Malva's headache. The Malva will give them keep that amount of money for payment for the loan, so you pay me the rest. Now let's say a situation when the mashkin was not destroyed. He kept it correctly, but the mashkin is still here. The more presents a fascinating concept. Remember, you had Baba Kama. The more Baba Kama says, Reuven steals Shimon's chametz, and now the chametz is over the Pesach. But the chametz is still here, still intact. After Pesach, the chametz is also behind. But the Malva, the more says, excuse me, the Gazlan can tell the Nigzel, here's your chametz, it's your chametz, right? It's worthless, that's tough luck. That's called giving back your chametz. So giving back what he stole. And if you have it, it doesn't pay anything. So over also, the Malva takes the mashkin, says, here's your mashkin back. It's worthless, but tough luck. But here's your mashkin back. And now you get your mashkin back. Get me a chayv. So in that situation, the Malva would be able to say Reisha Chol Afanach.
When?
He gives it back after Pesach. So that's a concept which the Mora refers to. That's called hezek shen nikra. Even though there's a damage to the chametz, it's worthless now. But since it's not, there's no change in the actual item. The item physically remains the same. Just there's a halachic change, so the item is still intact in halacha. So I can give the item back. Okay. Two more mishnah brurah to do over here.
How can you just keep the chametz to kamash?
He should not have done that.
733.
If he did.